Amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be here with you. I want you to take your Bible with me tonight and turn to Mark chapter 11, if you will, please. Mark chapter number 11. And I want to thank Pastor Carter for his friendship, his exemplary leadership. And I grew up knowing of Pastor Carter, and I hadn't met him until really a couple years ago, and found him to be a tremendously gracious man, and I appreciate it. And I hope you appreciate him as well. And it's a joy to be with you. I appreciate Brother Parsons as well and his friendship. And I hope I'm as much an encouragement to he and the college as they are to me. And I appreciate that opportunity. I appreciate Dr. Smith and his friendship to me and giving me opportunities as a younger preacher to be a blessing. And I'm just a very blessed man. And I thank God for his blessings in my life. I was hoping my wife and family would be here before I started, and they got caught in traffic, and so they'll be here in just a little bit. It's my little boy's 10th birthday, and so we'll embarrass him really good when he gets here, do something fun like that, but we appreciate it. Thank you, Brother Dave, for helping us here in the meeting, and you're a tremendous blessing as well. Mark chapter 11, if you stand with me, please, in reverence for the Word of God. Mark chapter number 11, and Brother Shepherd said, "Are you on deck?" I said, "No, I'm not on deck. I'm first at the plate." And so I hope I'm a Cub tonight and not an Indian. Say amen. Amen. Mark chapter 11, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 11. I often think it's vital that you participate deeply in the first reading of the Scripture. And many times we don't fully concentrate on what we're hearing at the very beginning, and we're catching up from behind the entire sermon, so I hope that you'll read along with me. Mark chapter 11 and verse 11. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house should be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." I call your attention to Peter's observation and Jesus' answer. Master, the fig tree is withered away. And Jesus gives this interesting answer. Have faith in God. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity that is mine. And I thank you, Lord, that I am a preacher. Lord, you look down into this world and you chose out men to bear your name and to preach thy truth. And Lord, I'm so grateful for that. Lord, I'm thankful to be in the midst of great men. I'm thankful to be among many of the leaders in the state of Florida tonight. But Lord, I'm grateful to be in your presence. And Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, Lord, we don't want to go. And we know that all is vain tonight unless you make yourself very manifest in our presence tonight. Now speak to our hearts and help us. And we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing, and you can be seated. I don't think I have to remind you what's going on in the world around us, and certainly what's going on in the country in the next several days. Regardless of the outcome of the election, there's going to be over half the country that's not going to be happy with the results. I did hear the story of the fellow that put some letters on the back of his truck, and it said, "Donald Trump for the White House, Hillary Clinton for the jailhouse, Bernie Sanders for the nut house, and Obama for the outhouse." Amen. But they're critical days. I think what we're seeing as Christian people is that America is nothing more than the latest victim upon a long and high stack of Gentile nations that have turned their back on God. It's hard to see. It's hard to imagine. I think the thing that probably gets us the most is that much of the destruction we see in the country around us is a deliberate attempt to destroy the greatness of America. Now, in our text tonight, I'm not replacing Israel with America, but I feel like Peter felt that day when he sees in a picture what is the coming doom of his nation. Peter sees in the fig tree and the withered tree here in verse number 20, he understands exactly what is taking place, that the tree is a picture of the nation of Israel and how its power and prowess and privilege is wasting away because they've turned their back upon God. And in answer to his observation, Jesus gives this simple statement: have faith in God. Have faith in God. I wonder next Wednesday morning, I wonder if that which we pray does not happen does indeed happen. I wonder if we as God's people will be the voice of reason. I wonder if we as men of God and women of God will be the voice of faith that says, I don't care how the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, our King still sits on the throne in heaven. And it's up to us to have answers from the Word of God. Hey, we ought to have faith in God. Now I want you to look, if you will, in verse number 12. As we see very quickly a picture of what Jesus saw in the temple through the tree. The Bible says in verse 12, on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now what we see in the fig tree is a picture of what Jesus saw in the temple. Notice in verse 11 again, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, I just remark to you tonight that Jesus saw things not as they seem to be, but he saw them as they truly are. We heard this morning that his word discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus enters into the temple, and he sees that there's a form of godliness that denied the power thereof. And he comes to a tree that has leaves. Now, the interesting thing about a fig tree is that it casts its fruit and then grows the leaves. They say that the leaves are the shape of a man's hand. And as the fruit comes on the tree, the leaf grows and it protects that fruit from the sun. Jesus, seeing this fig tree, he saw leaves upon it, which would suggest that it was a fruitful tree. It would suggest that to a weary traveler looking for nourishment and looking for substance might find the answer for their hunger on the tree. And it's a picture of what he saw in the temple in verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 14, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. There's two times in the ministry of Christ, both found here in the Gospel of Mark, that Jesus, as the Son of God, yea, as the Son of Man, cast a judgment upon the natural world in exhibition of his power over the kingdoms of this world. And he curses the tree. Now notice verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves? I suggest tonight that the house of God was treated casually. The Bible says here that he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Let me just say quickly tonight, if there's anything that we've done to worship, anything that we've done to the house of God in our time, is we brought a holy God down to the level of man, and we've made God that is high, holy, exalted, and lifted up as our good friend, as our buddy, as the man upstairs, but he is high, holy, exalted, and lifted up. They treated his house casually. But then the Bible says that they treated worship carnally. They made merchandise of spiritual things. The first time he came to the temple, he charged them with being merchandisers. He came the second time and charged them as being thieves. And whereas the tree had a form of godliness and leaves but no fruit, so the Lord Jesus Christ came into the temple. May I just suggest tonight that he walked into the temple that had furniture that was a picture of who he was. It had worship that was a picture of who he was. Why, that temple was an earthly presentation of what is in heaven. And he, the Son of God, came into the temple, and he looked for fruit that might abound. He looked for spiritual grace that might abound, but he found leaves and not fruit. The Bible says in verse 18, and the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. The Bible says in verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Not only was there a picture in the tree of what he saw in the temple and a picture of what he saw in the nation of Israel, I say number three, there was a picture of what Peter saw in the tree. Now I want you to hold your place here quickly. Go to the Old Testament quickly to the book of Hosea, please. Hosea in chapter number 9. There's three vines that are pictures used in the scriptures of the nation of Israel. First of all, we see the vine. You might think of the vine in Isaiah chapter 5 as a picture of Israel's spiritual privileges. Then we think of the olive tree. That's a beautiful picture of Israel's religious privileges. Then he uses this figure of the fig tree to serve as a picture of the nation of Israel, and it speaks of Israel's national privileges. May I just say what a privilege it was to be the apple of God's eye. What a privilege it was when God looked down upon a garden of gods in Mesopotamia and set his eyes upon one named Abram. And he said, upon you I'm going to build a great nation, not to make you a spoiled brat, not to put a silver spoon in your mouth. I'm choosing you out among the pagans of the world, that all the earth may know that Jehovah, he is God. He chose him, he protected him, he hedged him, he fenced him, he fertilized him, he protected him. God set his archangel to protect his land. What a privilege it was to be the people of God. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 9 and verse number 10, and I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. God is saying here, and I think Peter gets the picture. He puts two and two together. He came to the fig tree, and Jesus saw leaves but no fruit. He came to the temple, and he saw spiritual leaves but no fruit. It kind of reminds me of when God came down into the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening, and he saw Adam and Eve, and they were clothed in fig leaves only. They had covered themselves in leaves, but there was no spiritual fruit unto salvation and righteousness. And Peter gets a hold of this idea
that the fig tree Jesus is talking about, he's talking about our nation. Our Lord has said that he's going to destroy this temple. Our Lord has said that our nation's going to be destroyed. Our Lord has said that Zion would fall in AD 70. Titus would come with the Romans and destroy the city. Our Lord has said that not one stone would be left upon another. Our Lord said he's going to so destroy this temple that for two millennia they can't even verifiably say where that house stood. I'm simply saying tonight, Peter gets a hold of this, and when he sees that withered tree, listen carefully, not withered from the fruit down, but withered from the roots up, like John the Baptist who laid the axe to the root. Our Lord got to the root of the problem, and he said, you have leaves but no fruit. And Peter says, Lord, the fig tree's withered. Our nation is withered. Yeah. Our worship is withered. Yeah. Our people are withered. Our leaders are withered. Yeah. Our families are withered. Our morality is withered. Right. Our preachers are withered. I have a yellow tie on tonight. Dr. Smith has a yellow tie on tonight. The quartet has a yellow tie on tonight. Dr. Smith said, well, we better wear it on this side than we ought on the back side. Somebody say amen right there. The fig tree is withered away. In our nation tonight, the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. The wicked and the lawless are in authority. The Islamists surround us on every side. The militant homosexuals surround us on every side. The hate theists rule the National Education Association. Judicial activists rule the Supreme Court. Lawlessness in the executive and legislative branch abound here tonight. Yeah. We as a people of God, we as men of God, have a responsibility to live what Jesus answered to Peter in verse 22. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. I wonder if some of us have gotten the idea. I wonder if we've gotten the idea that if we can get our guy elected, going to fix all our problems. Yeah. Let me tell you something. America was great, and you know this. America was great because America was good. Right. Our problem tonight is not that we're not great. Our problem tonight is that we're not moral.
Right.
We've turned our back on God.
Yeah.
We've walked away from God. Yes. Over in New Smyrna, we fully anticipated a Category 4 storm to hit our coast. Man, we breathed a big sigh of relief, and everybody said praise to God. Even one of the Orlando TV stations put something out on Facebook that said, pray for Florida. When's the last time they ever prayed for anything?
Yeah.
Somebody said we dodged a bullet, and somebody said, no, we dodged a cannonball. Amen. Yeah. Have faith in God.
Amen.
Faith is to look away and look to Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus says, Peter, I want you to look away from a few things tonight. I want you to look to me. Number one, Peter, I want you to look away from the national, and I want you to look to the personal. I want you to look away from the national, and I want you to look at the personal. Notice how Jesus follows verse 22. Look at verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shalt believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, that what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. He turns this thing from the temple. He turns it from the nation. He turns it from them, and he puts it right into Peter's lap. Yeah. Notice in verse 23, I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Now look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you.
Yeah.
That's a great reminder. That's a great reminder. I think sometimes we look at the nation and think how bad the nation is, but we ought to be looking in the mirror and asking ourselves, am I right with God?
Right. Amen.
God in His Word has given us beautiful pictures of men and women who didn't focus on the national but thought about the personal. I want you to think about Joseph for a second tonight. Joseph is sold by his brethren into slavery into Egypt. Coming into Egypt on an Ishmaelite caravan, he could have thought about everything he lost, but the Bible says the Lord was with him. We might think about Esther carried away in Persia, but she believed that God had brought her to the kingdom for such a time as this. You might think about Daniel, a young man carried away from Jerusalem, but he finds his way into the court of Nebuchadnezzar, and God used him in a wonderful way. Think about Paul in a prison cell, writing scripture and praising God and winning souls. I'm simply saying this: we can bloom personally when the nation is in great decline. Look away, Peter. Look away from the national. Look away and look to Jesus. God has so designed the Christian life that we can live successfully and victoriously in these last days. So what if other churches compromise? So what if other preachers compromise? We can stand true and stand tall and have the blessing of God upon our lives. I want the blessing of God in my life. He says, I want you to place the personal over the national. Number two, he says, I want you to look away from the immediate to the inevitable. He says, I want you not to think about the little picture. He says, I want you to see the big picture. I want you to look away from that which you see in your space and time, and I want you to see what I'm doing in the end of time. Oh, how careful we ought to be to understand that we see the beginning from the end, but our great God sees the end from the beginning. He says, I want you to look away, Peter. I know what you're thinking. I know you love that house of worship. I know you're a great patriot. I know you love your country. I know you love this city, and I know you love this land. But ladies and gentlemen, I report to you tonight that this world is not our home. We're just passing through.
Amen.
When I go into the voting booth next week, I'm voting as a pilgrim just passing through. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. May God help us. Notice in chapter 12, the Bible says, and he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine vat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went to a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come and let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. They took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. And what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. On the hills of Mark chapter 11, Jesus said there was a husbandman that sent servants into his vineyard. He sent servants there to care for that vineyard, but they were mistreated. They were maligned. They were killed. They were slaughtered. And he said at the last moment, he sent his son, and certainly they would reverence his son. Certainly they would value the son. Certainly they would receive the son. Certainly they would love the son, but they did not love the son. They despitefully used him. They killed him and placed him on a tree. You see, what we see here is a transition between he came to his own and his own received him not, but thank God, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen.
Jesus is saying to Peter, I've used the nation of Israel as a mighty instrument in my hands. I've written redemption from the ends of the earth for 2,000 years, from Abraham to Christ. I've made myself known to the ends of the earth. And Peter, I'm going to set you aside for just a little bit. I'm going to pick up a new instrument called the local New Testament church. I'm going to allow some Gentiles to be saved. I'm going to go save some dogs and call them and inspire them and infuse them with power. And I'm going to use them for a while to make me known. And one glorious day, the eastern sky is going to part, and Jesus is going to come and receive us to himself, and he's going to take the instrument of the church and set it down and pick up Israel one last time to make himself known to the ends of the earth. Peter, don't be so worried about the immediate. See what God's doing in the end.
Amen.
What about America? What about America? Listen, don't get so worried about the immediate. God sees the storm, someone said, from the other side. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Oh, I was thinking of Peter, who wrote to the strangers scattered abroad, the trial of your faith being that much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Oh, be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the coming of Jesus Christ. And Peter's talking about Nero on the throne. Have faith in God. Look away from the national and think about your own heart. Look away from the immediate and see what God is doing in the end. And then I want you to see the last word our Lord had. The Bible says in verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Maybe in Peter's heart, he says to himself, our fathers sinned. Our fathers turned their backs on God. Maybe tonight, a younger person looks at the condition we're in and says, well, it's generations that preceded me that turned their backs on God. Maybe a young person says to Granddaddy, what were you doing in 1973 when we legislated the killing of the unborn? By the way, maybe your grandkids will say, by the way, Granddaddy, how'd you cast your vote in 2016? Well, I voted on someone that couldn't win. What were you doing? What were you doing, Dad? I wonder if my son might say, Dad, were you preaching against homosexuality when they legislated it in the country?
Yeah.
Maybe Ethan could say, Dad, you could have done more. But Jesus says, Peter, part of having faith in me is forgiving and looking at yourself in the mirror. And when you pray, he's saying, are there things in your life that would hinder your prayer life? Look away from the faults of others and look at the forgiver that is in our presence today. I would submit that Peter is no more than 48 hours away from standing in front of a fire, three times denying his Lord. Now, it's easy to talk about those Pharisees that are corrupting worship and the emergent church. That's easy. It's easy for us to talk about Joel Osteen and others. They're the problem, we say. Yeah, but big old Peter, you know, the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth, he's the one less than 2 days away from denying his allegiance to Christ. I think Jesus is saying to Peter, hey, buddy, are you right with God? It's not hard to look at Washington and make ourselves feel really good about how righteous we are. But it's really hard to look into the mirror of God's Word and see the same righteousness. Look away. Look away unto Jesus. Have faith in God. I got to be honest. I think if I wake up, my wife said, are you going to stay up and watch the results? I said, no, I just don't think I can take it. I just don't think I can take it. But if we wake up and see what takes place, that which we don't want to see take place, you know what? Have faith in God. Yeah. Have faith in God. Sometimes my wife will say to me, hey, shh, shh, shh. The kids are listening. The kids are listening. Maybe you talk about something going on in the world or something you saw. Kids are listening. Holy Spirit says, hey. Psalm 73 said, we'll not keep them from our children, that the generation to come might set their hope in God. These young people are listening to us.
Yeah.
You know what they need? They need confidence.
That's right. Amen.
They need hope.
Yep.
We left our house in the hurricane. We boarded everything up and I didn't feel safe being at our house. We actually sheltered in our church. And I was pretty nervous. If we got what we were supposed to get, it would have been catastrophic. And my little boy said, Dad, are we going to be okay? I said, yeah, we're going to be fine. He said, no, are you sure we're going to be okay? I said, Ethan, I said, our safety is not in the strength of the storm. I said, our safety is in the strength of the place in which we seek refuge. Let me say it. Our safety is in the object in which we've placed our trust.
Amen.
Have faith in God. Lord, I love you and I thank you and I hope you've used me in some small way to be a blessing. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in our country. Lord, we're praying, Lord, that you are working on the other end. Lord, we could hardly as a nation fall before you and ask for grace. Lord, we could hardly be worthy of begging for mercy. Lord, we're asking that you'll help us to be the Christian that we ought to be and exercise real faith in God.